بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our ninth session, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 2. Dr. Fahd Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Today, inshallah, we're going to take the ninth lesson, lesson number 9, as part of our preview to the study of Medina Book 2. And again, yani for anybody who's with us new today, and as a reminder to everyone else, what is intended during these sessions is to introduce, to preview the most important aspect of the Medina Book 2, that is the grammatical points and the vocabulary. Okay, our intent is to preview, to become introduced, to become acquainted with the core material of each lesson for the first half of the book before we go into a full study of Medina Book 2. So it is our hope that if anybody is studying Medina Book 2 for the first time, then this will serve just as an introduction, to what we're going to be doing when we study the entire book. If you don't grasp everything that we cover in these preview sessions, then it's okay, because we're going to go back over all of this material when we go into the full study of Medina Book 2. We're going to go into the English key, we're going to look at the grammar, we're going to look at the vocabulary, we're going to read the Arabic text carefully and analyze it grammatically, identifying new grammatical points and new vocabulary words, and then we're going to do all of the exercises from the beginning of the lesson to the end. And the exercises, doing the exercises, will help us tremendously in comprehending and retaining the material in each lesson, the new material in each lesson, primarily the grammar and the vocabulary. So, again, today, this is our ninth session and lesson number 9. Last week, because the lesson number 8 was relatively short, was shorter than some of the other lessons, and we anticipated that we would have extra time at the end, so we actually took the first 3 points from lesson number 9 last week. So for homework, what was requested is that we take a look at the quick review of the points that we covered from this lesson last week. Take a quick review of that, points 1, 2, and 3. From the English key for lesson number 9 on page 28 and 29. So we're going to just take a quick look at those points that we covered last week, and then we're going to go into the new points from 4 until 11. From points 4 through 11, from the English key, 4 through 11 on pages 29 to 32. Then we'll look at the vocabulary on page 32 and 33, and then we're going to look at the Arabic text, which is a very lengthy Arabic text, almost 4 pages, page 59 to 62. We're going to translate that text and try to identify the new vocabulary points and new grammar points. So let's look at first, quickly, the first 3 points of the English key for lesson 9 on page 28. And then, because we looked at those last week, we're going to just look at them quickly. And then we'll do the remaining grammar points, the vocabulary, and the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson. Okay, so if you're on page 28 of the English key for lesson number 9, you see that the first point is the accusative ending of the sound feminine plural. Yani, when the sound feminine plural is mansub, when it's in the accusative case. Okay, the sound feminine plural means jam al-mu'annath as-salim. Jam al-mu'annath as-salim. So when this class of words, sound feminine plurals, yani feminine plurals like mu'mina, when you elongate the fatha at the end before ta marbuta and change the ta marbuta to ta maftuha. So mu'mina with ta marbuta becomes mu'minat, and muslima with ta marbuta at the end becomes muslimat. This type of word, sound feminine plural, when it is in the accusative case, when it is the object, yani the maf'ulun bi, the object of a verb, or the ism of inna, when it's in the accusative case, instead of taking fatha as the last vowel indicating it being mansub, in this particular case, instead of fatha, it's going to take kasra. So this is a secondary sign of i'rab. Secondary sign. The primary sign of i'rab for the word that when it's mansub, when it's in the accusative case, is fatha. But this is a secondary sign. Sound feminine plurals, when they are in the accusative case, they take kasra instead of fatha. So that's the first point. The second, and also note that because of this, because it takes kasra when it's mansub, then the sign for the sound feminine plural when it's mansub is the same as when it's majrur. Because the primary sign, original sign for a word when it's majrur is kasra. And here we have a secondary sign for the sound feminine plural when it's mansub, it's also kasra. So the sound feminine plural, when it is mansub, it takes kasra instead of fatha. And when it's majrur, it also takes kasra. So you have to make a note of that. If you see a sound feminine plural and it ends with kasra, you have to check yani its position in the sentence to be sure if it's majrur because of that kasra or if it's mansub. The second point we talked about was what is called noon al-wiqaya. Noon al-wiqaya. And this, yani, what this noon al-wiqaya is, it's in English it's called the noon of protection. It protects the final vowel of the verb from being omitted or being deleted. Okay? So, what happens here is that whenever a word has attached to the end of it as a suffix, the first person singular pronoun, ya al-mutakallam, yani the ya that's preceded by kasra, e, that pronoun requires that the last vowel of a word that it's attached to has to be kasra. So even if that word ended with a fatha or dhamma or kasra, whatever, that last vowel is going to be omitted, and the ya al-mutakallam is going to use its kasra. So if a word like ra'ayta, which ends with fatha, has attached to it ya al-mutakallam, then it's going to become ra'ayti. And ra'aytu is going to become ra'ayti. And ra'ayti is going to be ra'ayti. So there's no difference between ra'ayta and ra'ayti when you attach ya al-mutakallam, if it were not for the noon separating the last vowel from the ya al-mutakallam so that the last vowel can remain whatever it should have been. So ra'aytu becomes ra'aytuni, and ra'ayta, ra'aytani, and ra'ayti, ra'aytini. So this is called noon al-wiqaya. It's attached to the end of a verb in order to preserve the final vowel. If it was fatha or kasra or dhamma, it will remain as it is, and then ya al-mutakallam is attached with a noon in between the verb and the pronoun ya al-mutakallam. The third point that we talked about last week is what is known as fi'l at-ta'ajjub, yani the verb of wonder or amazement. When you're expressing amazement at something, like when you say, for example, how beautiful is this car? Or, oh, how beautiful is this car? What a beautiful car. In expressing amazement at something, how beautiful it is, how big it is, how whatever, yani, tall it is, and so on. This expression in Arabic is known as fi'lu at-ta'ajjub. And it's composed of ma, mim fatha alif, and that ma, by the way, is known as ma at-ta'ajjubiyya. It's composed of ma, along with the verb, yani, form of ajmala, yani af'ala. If it was jameel, it became ajmala. If it was kabir, it became akbara. If it's saghir, it became asghara, on the pattern of af'ala, with fatha on the last letter, af'ala. So you have ma, and then you have the pattern of af'ala, and then you have the pronoun or clear noun that's going to be mansub. If it's a pronoun, it's mabniun in the place where it should be mansub. If it's a clear noun, it's going to be mansub with the sign of it being mansub, primary sign being fatha. So for example, how beautiful is this car? What a beautiful car this is. Ma ajmala. Ajmala is from jameel. Ma ajmala hadhihi as-sayyara. Or without the ism ishara, you can say ma ajmala as-sayyarata. Wa ma yani akthara an-nujuma. Yani akthara is from kathir on the pattern of af'ala with fatha on the ending. Ma af'ala, and then you have a pronoun or you have a clear noun that's going to be in the position of being mansub, the object of the verb form, yani the af'ala pattern. Okay, so that was the third point that we discussed last week. And now, inshallah, we're going to take, and we'll pick up where we left off last week with point number four. Point number four. Keeping in mind, even though this lesson has a lot of grammatical points, and it has 11 points, okay, it has 11 points, in the end of it all, this is only an introduction. We're just trying to become acquainted so that we are familiar with some of these things, so that when we go back and enter into the full study of Medina Book 2, inshallah, these things will not be brand new to us. They will not be foreign to us. Actually, we will have already been introduced to them. We will be familiar with them. We will be acquainted with them. And it will be, inshallah, much easier to cover, yani this second level class, Medina Book 2. Okay, so we're on lesson number 9, English Key, page 29, point number 4, on the bottom half of the page, point number 4. We have learnt in book 1 that the noun after ya takes only one dhamma. Takes only one dhamma. Yani the noun, which in Arabic is known as the munada, the one that's being called, the noun that comes after ya, and this ya is known as ya an-nida. The ya, the vocative ya, the ya that's used when you want to get somebody's attention. Like when you say hey or yo. Yani when you're getting somebody's attention, hey there. Then in Arabic you say, ya, ya Ahmed, ya Muhammad, and so on like this. Okay, so this ya and nida, the ya that's used to call someone to get their attention, the noun that follows it is known as the munada, and that noun that comes after ya takes only one dhamma. Okay? This is point number 4. We have learned in book 1 that the noun after ya, ya and nida, takes only one dhamma. Yani it's mabniyun on dhamma. It's fixed on dhamma. It doesn't change. It's going to be dhamma. And it's going to be a single dhamma without tanween. And then they give us some examples. Ya hamidu. Yani hamid is the munada. Comes after ya nida. Hamid is going to be mabniyun ala dhamma. Yani it's going to be fixed on dhamma and a single dhamma without tanween. So even though the name hamid is a masculine proper noun, takes tanween. Masculine proper nouns take tanween. But after ya and nida, it's not going to take tanween. It's going to have a single vowel, and that vowel is going to be fixed on dhamma. Now we're going to study the munada later on in the future, and we'll see yani some other subsidiary rules. But the basic rule is that the proper noun that is not in idhafa, that comes after ya and nida, is going to be fixed. Yani mabniyun with a single dhamma. So hamidun, if you're calling Hamid and you say ya hamid, you're going to say ya hamidu with a single dhamma vowel. Ya bilalu, even though bilal is a masculine proper noun, it originally takes tanween, bilalun. But after ya, it's going to take a single dhamma. Ya bilalu. And likewise, not only proper nouns, but even common nouns that have a special rule concerning them. When you're addressing, intending to address a particular person, and you're not calling them by their name, but you're saying to a child, O young man, O child, O teacher, O imam. Yani when you are addressing a specific person, even though using a common noun, it comes under the same rule as the yani proper noun. Okay, it comes under the same rule as the proper noun. That is, after ya and nida, it's going to take a single dhamma vowel, single dhamma. So if you were calling out to your teacher in the classroom and you're saying, oh professor, oh teacher, you will say, ya ustadhu. Even though ustadh, and he takes tanween, but after ya and nida, it's going to take a single dhamma. Ya ustadhu. Ya waladu. If you were speaking to a child, you're trying to get your child's attention on the other side of the room, and you are calling out to the child, even though waladun takes tanween, but after ya and nida, if you were calling that child, you would say, ya waladu, with a single dhamma vowel. Okay, that's what we learned previously, that the munada, the noun that comes after ya and nida, takes a single dhamma vowel. It's mabniyun on dhamma. We had this previously in book 1. So now, after those examples, it says, now if the noun after ya is mudhaf, it is mansub. So the original rule is what? The noun after ya and nida is fixed, mabniyun on dhamma, single dhamma. But if that noun that comes after ya nida is part of an idalfa construction, it's the first part of an idalfa construction, then in that case, instead of being fixed on dhamma, it's going to become mansub with fatha. Mansub with fatha. Alright, so let's see some examples. The first example they gave us, O daughter of Bilal. Ya binta Bilalin. Ya binta Bilalin. Okay, so what binta here is the word that comes after ya nida. It's not taking a single dhamma. Rather, it's mansub with fatha. And the reason for that is because in this particular case, the word coming after ya nida is mudalf. It is the first part of an idalfa construction. The daughter of Bilal. Binta Bilalin. That expression, binta Bilalin, is an idalfa construction. We learned in book 1, lesson 5, about the idalfa construction. So, the first part of the idalfa construction, we said it never takes tanween or alif lam. So we see it doesn't have tanween or alif lam. And it's case ending, as we learned in book 1, lesson 5, it can be fatha, kasr, or dhamma, but here, if it is the munada, the noun coming after ya nida, and it is also mudhaf, the first part of an idalfa construction, then its case ending is going to be that it's mansub in the accusative case. It's going to be mansub. Okay, so to simplify this a little bit, we're going to say, if you have a noun coming after ya, you're calling out somebody, but the one you're calling is going to be two words in an idalfa construction, the daughter of Bilal, or the sister of Muhammad, or the son of my brother, or the lord of the Kaaba. These are the examples that they gave us. All of those are construct phrase. So the first part of a construct phrase, if it's coming after ya nida, it's automatically going to be mansub in the accusative case. So we see that. In this case, these words all here have fatha. Unless the word after ya nida, that's mudhaf, unless it is of those special classes of words that have a secondary sign, okay, it's still going to be mansub, but whatever the secondary sign is, as we'll see later on, and in this lesson here, we'll see that the secondary sign for certain words when they are mansub is other than fatha. It's other than fatha. But the primary sign for a word when it's mansub is fatha. So we're going to see in all of these examples that they give us here first, the first four examples, we see that the munada, the word after ya nida, when it is the first part of an idalfa construction, it's going to be taking fatha. The primary sign of a word being mansub is fatha. So ya binta Bilalin. Binta Bilalin, the daughter of Bilal, it's a construct phrase. Binta is both the munada, the word coming after ya nida, and it's also also a mudalf, the first part of an idalfa construction. So when these two things come together, the munada is also mudalf, then the case ending, and then its i'rab is going to be that it is in the accusative case. It's going to be mansub, and the primary sign of a word being mansub is fatha. Let's look at the second example. O sister of Muhammad. Whenever we see this of, we know that this is an idalfa construction. Yani daughter of Bilal, sister of Muhammad, the key of the car, the door of the house. That's an idalfa construction. So here we have another idalfa construction. Ukhta Muhammadin. Sister of Muhammad. Sister of Muhammad. So ukht here is both the munada, the noun that comes after ya nida, and it's also mudalf. It's mudalf to Muhammad. Therefore, yani in i'rab, in terms of its i'rab, we say that it is in the accusative case, and the primary sign of a word in the accusative case is fatha. So we say ya ukhta Muhammadin. Ya ukhta Muhammadin. If it was not an idalfa, if it was just the munada without being an idalfa to anything, then it would come under the rule that we learned in book 1, yani it would be mabniun, fixed on a single dhamma. But because this munada is also in an idalfa construction, as the first part of an idalfa construction, so in that case, instead of it being fixed on dhamma, it's going to be mansub, and the primary sign for a word that's mansub is fatha. Let's look at the third example they gave us. O son of my brother. So the idalfa construction here is son of my brother. So son here is the mudalf, the first part of the idalfa construction, and it's also the noun following ya nida, so it's the munada. It's the munada that's mudalf. When those two things come together, the munada is also mudaf, then it becomes in the accusative case. Yani mansub. Primary sign of a word being mansub is fatha. So ya ibna akhi, O son of my brother. Ya ibna akhi. The fourth example they gave us, bottom of page 29. O Lord of the Kaaba. O Lord of the Kaaba. So here, the idafa construction is Rabb al-Ka'bati. Rabb al-Ka'bati. Lord of the Kaaba. So here, Rabb is both the mudaf, first part of an idafa construction, and the munada, the word following ya nida. Therefore, it is in the accusative case. Mansub, the primary sign of the word being mansub, is fatha. Ya Rabb al-Ka'bati. Rabb al-Ka'bati. O Lord of the Kaaba. Let's turn to page 30 at the top of the page, and they give us two more examples. These examples are very important because they're going to show us something else. Okay, so the first example on the top of page 30 is O Servant of Allah. Ya Abdullah. Ya Abdullahi. The idafa construction in this expression here is Abd Allah. Abdullah. So Abd being the mudaf and being the munada, the first, the noun coming after ya nida, its case is going to be in the accusative case, mansub. Primary sign of a word being mansub is fatha. Here I want to note that when you are calling somebody whose name is Abdullah, Abdullah, yani instead of saying Abdullah with dhamma, abdu, yani because you're calling them, it comes under the rule of munada. And it's as though you're saying, Ya Abdullah. In that case, the name Abdullah, the abd, the first part of the construct phrase Abdullah, becomes mansub with fatha. Ya Abdullahi. So if you were calling someone whose name is Abdullah, you say, Ya Abdullah with fatha. Abda Allahi. Ya Abdullah. Okay, the last example, or I should say, not last example, there are two more examples. The next example on the top of page 30 has a special rule because the munada that's mudaf is from the class of words, yani al-asma al-khamsa, the five special nouns, that have secondary signs for i'rab. So the sign of this type of word from the asma al-khamsa, the sign of it being marfu'un instead of dhamma is waw. The sign of it being majrur instead of kasra is ya, and the sign of it being mansub instead of fatha is alif. So here we see O Abu Bakr. O Abu Bakr. Literally, O father of Bakr. Bakr means a young, yani a virgin camel. A young camel. Bakr means a young camel. So, yani, O father of Bakr means O father of the young camel, or father of camels, as it is commonly said. Note that the accusative form of Abu, in the name Abu Bakr, the accusative form is Aba, because it's from the Asma al-Khamsa. And the Asma al-Khamsa, when they are mansub, instead of the sign of it being mansub, being fatha, the sign of it being mansub is alif. So when Abu Bakr, when Abu, the first part of this construct phrase Abu Bakr, when it is the munada after ya nida, and it is also the first part of a construct phrase, it becomes automatically mansub, but here the sign of it being mansub is not fatha, it's alif. It's a secondary sign because the asma al-khamsa, the five special nouns, when they are an idalfa, they have a secondary sign, and the secondary sign of them being mansub is alif. Alif. So, instead of saying, Ya Abu Bakr, in Arabic you should properly say, Ya Aba Bakrin. Ya Aba Bakrin. Why? Because Aba here is both munada, the noun coming after Ya Nida, and it is mudaf, yani connected to Bakrin. Ya Aba Bakrin. Okay, that being said, there's one more example they gave us. Ya Rabbana, O our Lord. Here, the construct phrase is Rabb, and the pronoun Na. Yani, Rabbana, our Rabb. So when Rabb is both a mudhaf, connected to the pronoun na, and it's also the munada, the noun following ya. When these two things are combined, the munada that is mudhaf, then it becomes mansoob. So you see, ya rabba, with fatha, rabbana, O our Lord. I hope it is understood. This particular point, number four, is a follow-up on something that we studied in book number one, that is the munada, the noun that comes after ya and nida, when you're calling out to somebody. We said in book number one that the munada is fixed, mabniyun on dhamma. Now we're saying, unless it is in an idalfa construction. The munada, that's the first part of an idalfa construction, instead of being fixed on dhamma, it is in the accusative case, mansoob. And the primary sign of a noun being mansoob is fatha, unless it has a secondary sign, as with this next to the last example, yani abu, which is from asma al-khamsa, as a secondary sign. When it's mansoob instead of fatha, it takes alif. Okay, the next point, point number five, is related to something we also had in book one, the tamyiz of kam, then the word that comes after kam, yani, which means how many. We have learned in book one that the noun after kam, which kam means how many, is singular and mansoob. The noun that comes after kam is going to be singular, even though in English you say how many books or how many dollars does this cost. Okay, even though in English it's going to be plural, in Arabic the word after how much or how many books, how many dollars, how many reals, the word that comes after kam is going to be singular, and it's going to be in the accusative case, mansoob. It's going to be singular and it's going to be mansoob. That's what we learned in book one, that the word that comes after kam is going to be singular and it's going to be mansoob. Like if you wanted to say, how many books do you have? And you say, kam kitab, and kitab is going to be singular and it's going to be mansoob. How many dollars do you have? Kam dolaran. Dolar is going to be singular and it's going to be mansoob. Kam, yani taliban. How many students? Fil fasli, for example. In the classroom, yani kam taliban, taliban, the word that comes after kam is always going to be singular. Talib, and it's going to be mansoob with fatha. Taliban, dularan, kitaban, and so on like this. That's what we learned in book one. Now we're learning a subsidiary rule, but if the word kam is preceded by a preposition, the noun following it may be either majrur or mansoob. And because of the preposition now, it is possible for it to become majrur because of that preposition, or it's possible for it to remain mansoob, because that's the original ruling concerning the word that comes after kam. The word that comes after kam is originally mansoob, singular, and in the accusative case, mufrad mansoob. However, if there's a preposition before kam, now you have kam making it mansoob, and you have the preposition in making it majrur, so it's permissible for you to take either case. You can make it mansoob, the original ruling, or you can make it majrur because of the preposition. Here are some examples. Kam riyalan indaka. How many riyals have you? How many riyals do you have? Okay, riyalan is singular and mansoob. Because why? Because it is coming immediately after kam. It's the tamyiz of kam. That's what it's known as, the tamyiz. Okay, so that word that comes after kam is known as its tamyiz. Originally we said it's going to be singular and it's going to be mansoob. But now we're saying, but if there's a preposition before kam, it can be yani mansoob or it can be majrur. So here's an example. Kam riyalan indaka. How many riyals do you have? This is our original rule, that after kam, the following word is going to be singular, riyal, and it's going to be mansoob, yani with fatha. But what if we changed it and we said, instead of kam, become. So we have a preposition before kam. Become. Now it can be become riyalan mansoob, that's the original rule, or become riyalin majrur, because of the preposition be. So you can say become riyalan hadha or become riyalin hadha. Riyalan or riyalin, both of them are correct. Both of them are permissible. Riyalan in consideration of kam making the word following it mansoob, or riyalin in consideration of the preposition be that is attached to kam. So you can say become riyalan hadha or become rial in hadha, how many rials does this cost? Alright? The note after that example says, here both rialen and rialin are permissible because of the preposition be. In the same way we can say, fi kam yawmen, or fi kam yawmin, in how many days? Because of the preposition fi coming before kam. So now in consideration of kam we can say yawmen mansub, or in consideration of the preposition fi we can say yawmin majrur. So it can become, it can be mansub or it can be majrur, because there are two things acting on it. One of them making it mansub and the other one making it majrur. So it's permissible for you to take it either way, mansub or majrur. Okay, so basically this point number five is what? It's related to the word kam, which is used to ask about how much or how many of something. The word after it originally is mansub and it's singular, but if it's preceded by a preposition, then the preposition allows you to make it majrur. So it can be mansub or majrur. Point number six. Point number six is in reference to ma al-istifhamiyya. Now we've had several types of ma. Ma that is used for asking a question, we had in book one, lesson one. Ma hadha, that's the ma we're talking about right now. Ma al-istifhamiyya. Yani from istifham, seeking fahm, seeking to understand something, interrogatory, ma. But since then, since lesson one in book one, later on we also had ma and nafiyah, the ma of negation, like ma indi rial. Ma indi rial. I don't have a rial. I don't have anything. Ma indi shayun. So that ma and nafiyah, or ma dhahabtu, I didn't go. Ma akaltu, I didn't eat. That's a different type of ma. We're not talking about that ma, okay? And we also had, yani ma, we had a third ma also, ma al-mawsula. Yeah, we also had ma al-mawsula. We're not going to go into that right now, but the point is that there are different types of ma. Perhaps there are at least 10 different types of ma. We should be familiar, or we will be taking, I'm sorry, this is the preview, right? We will be taking other types of ma other than, yeah, I think actually we had two types of ma in book one. Yeah, we had, in lesson one, we had ma istifhamiyya, and in lesson 10, we had ma and nafiyah. Yani point 9, page 27 of lesson 10, book one, we had ma and nafiyah. So we had those two types of ma. I want to say here that for point number six here, we're talking about one type of ma only. This rule is in reference to the ma that is called ma al-istifhamiyya. The ma that's used to ask a question, the interrogative ma that we had in book one, lesson one. So this rule that we're going to talk about here is only in reference to the ma that's used to ask a question. When you say ma hadha, what is this? Alright? So it says here, point number six, page 30, lesson nine. When the interrogative ma in Arabic is called ma al-istifhamiyya, when the interrogative ma is preceded by a preposition like bi or li or min or an, when it's preceded by a preposition, the alif of ma is dropped. Yani ma is originally mim fatta alif, but if that ma is preceded by a preposition, the alif is dropped. It becomes a short vowel fatta only. For example, if you had B plus ma, if you wanted to say, with what did you, yani, make this cake? What did you use to make it? With what? B plus ma, because ma is preceded by a preposition, the aleph is omitted and it becomes a short vowel A, it becomes bima. If you had li, the preposition li plus ma, it becomes lima. Yani, for what or why, lima. If it was min plus ma, it becomes mimma, from what. Note that the noon of min has been assimilated into the meme of ma, so it became mimma, and then the aleph is omitted. So instead of min ma, the noon is assimilated into the meme, becomes the shadda on the meme, mimma. And the aleph is omitted because of being preceded by a preposition. Then they have an plus ma becomes amma. About what? Like amma yatasa'alun, yani in the last juz of the Quran. Amma is originally an plus ma. Note that the noon of an has been assimilated into the meme of ma, and then the aleph is omitted because of it being preceded by a preposition. It became an ma becomes amma. Alright, so this is point number six, that in reference to the ma that's being used to ask a question, only that ma, not the other types of ma, not the ma of negation, or the ma, the relative ma, or any other type of ma, just the ma that's used to ask a question, ma al-istifhamiyya, the interrogative ma, when it's preceded by a preposition, it loses its long vowel aleph. It becomes a short vowel. Alright? Tayyib. After that, point number seven. This is a very simple matter here. They give some examples, but it's a very, very simple matter. Point number seven is in reference to the plurals for the relative pronouns that we had previously. Previously we had the relative pronouns alladhi and allati. Alladhi is for masculine singular and allati is for feminine singular. Okay, so we have learned the relative pronouns alladhi, the one who, or that which, if it's in reference to a thing, used for something that's masculine and singular, and allati, used for something or someone that's feminine, singular. Now we learn their plural forms. Point number seven is the plurals of alladhi and allati. The plural of alladhi is alladhina. Like we see in the Quran all the time, inna alladhina amanu wa amalu salihat. Inna alladhina. Alladhina is the plural of alladhi, the one who, or if in reference to a thing, that which. The plural of alladhi is alladhina, and the plural of allati is allati. Allati is allati. And it also has two other forms, allai and allawati. But here we're only concerned with one plural for allati, yani the vowel on the lam with shadda is fatta, it's elongated. Allati becomes allati, two long vowels now instead of one. Okay, so this is basically what this is. It's just telling us the plural of alladhi is alladhina, those who, and the plural of allati is allati, also meaning those who for feminine. Here are some examples. Okay, first they're going to give us an example of the singular alladhi, masculine, singular, and then they're going to give us a plural, alladhina. Then they're going to give allati, feminine, singular, and then they're going to give us an example of the plural. So the first example for the masculine singular, alladhi, ar-rajulu alladhi kharaja min maktabil mudiri mudarrisun jadidun. What we're concerned about here is alladhi. The meaning of this sentence is the man who left the headmaster's office or the principal's office is a new teacher. The man who left the office of the principal or the headmaster is a new teacher. So, alladhi, here the relative pronoun, alladhi, is called al-ism al-mawsool. This alladhi is giving us more information. When you say the man who left the headmaster's office is a new teacher, the original sentence here is the man is a new teacher. Ar-rajulu mudarrisun jadidun. The man is a new teacher. But alladhi, the relative pronoun, gives us more information about that man. The man is a new teacher. Which man? The man who went out from the headmaster's office or the office of the mudir. That man, the one who just went out of the headmaster's office, he is a new teacher. Okay, so what we're concerned about here is the word alladhi. It's called al-ism al-mawsool. And the information that comes with it, who went out of the maktab of the mudiya, is called the silat al-mawsool. These expressions you don't have to learn now. We'll study this later on in the future. But what is important is alladhi. Yani alladhi is the singular, and in this lesson we're learning alladhina, which is its plural. But just as a note, in terms of the structure of the sentence, ar-rajulu is the mubtada. Alladhi is the ism mawsool, relative pronoun. and kharaja min maktab al-mudir. That information that came with alladhi is the relative clause. Then mudarrisun is the khabar, and jadidun is a naat. So the sentence without alladhi and what comes with it is ar-rajulu mudarrisun jadidun. A simple jumla ismiya. Ar-rajulu is the mubtada marfu'un with dhamma. Mudarrisun is the khabar, marfu'un with dhamma, and jadid is a naat. But here we have some extra information about ar-rajul, the one who, alladhi, went out, kharaja min maktab al-mudiyya, of the office of the principal. Mudarrisun jadidun is a new teacher. Okay, let's look at a plural for alladhi, alladhina. Ar-rijalu, on the top of page 31, ar-rijalu alladhina, alladhina, the plural of alladhi, kharaju, plural, min maktab al-mudiri, from the office of the mudir, mudarrisuna, sound masculine plural, teachers, jududun, new, yani, the men who left the headmaster's office are new teachers. The men are rijalu, alladhina, who, kharaju, went out, min maktab al-mudir, from the headmaster's office, mudarrisuna, are teachers, jududun, new. Okay, so the point is that alladhina is the plural of alladhi. If you have a masculine plural, instead of alladhi, you use alladhina. And again, this sentence, without alladhina kharaju min maktab al-mudir, is a simple jumla ismiya. Ar-rijalu mudarrisuna jududun. Ar-rijalu is the mubtada marfu'un with dhamma. Mudarrisuna is the khabar marfu'un. And since it's a sound masculine plural, the sign of it being marfu'un is wow. And jududun is a not describing mudarrisuna. Yani judud is the plural of jadid. Okay, let's look at the feminine allati and its plural allati. The example they gave us for the feminine singular is at-talibatu allati jalasat amam al-mudarrisati bintu al-mudirati. The female student who sat in front of the lady teacher is the headmistress' daughter, is the daughter of the headmistress, the daughter of the female principal. Okay? At-talibatu is feminine singular, so we use allati. The female student, allati hu, jalasat, sat, amama, in front of al-mudarrisati, the female teacher, is this talib, this taliba, female student, who sat in front of the female teacher, is, who is she? Bintu al-mudirati. She is the daughter of the female principal, the headmistress. What is important here is allati, because we're talking about at-talibatu, which is feminine, and it's singular, we're using allati. If it was plural, at-talibat, as we see in the next example, then instead of allati, we will use allati. But before we go to the last example, I just want to note that this simple sentence, without the relative pronoun, allati, and the relative clause that comes with it, jalasat amam al-mudarrisati, without that relative pronoun and the relative clause with it, the simple jumla ismiya here is at-talibatu bintu al-mudirati. The female student is the daughter of the female principal, the headmistress. At-talibatu is mubtada marfu'un with dhamma. Bintu is the khabar, marfu'un dhamma. And al-mudiratu is mudhafun ilayhi, majroor with kasra. The last example, instead of at-talibatu, we're going to use the plural, at-talibatu, the female students, allati, hu, jalasna, sat, amama, in front of al-mudarrisati, the female teacher, banatu, are the daughters of al-mudirati, the headmistress. The female students, who sat in front of the lady teacher, are the headmistress daughters, the daughters of the headmistress, banatu al-mudirati. And again, the simple sentence here is, the female students are the daughters of the headmistress, without who sat in front of the lady teacher. That's extra information. The simple sentence is, at-talibatu banatu al-mudirati. At-talibatu is mubtada marfu'un with dhamma. Banatu is khabar marfu'un with dhamma. And al-mudirati is mudawf ilayhi majroor. Okay, so basically, yani, these examples have a lot of information in them, especially the i'rab of the sentence. But what is important here in this point number 7 is to know that the plural of alladhi is alladhina, means those who, and the plural of allati is allati. That's basically what we are really concerned about here. As far as these examples and the i'rab of the examples that they gave us, that's just extra information that we can look at in the future when we come back to study this lesson in detail. Right now we just want to become acquainted with some basic points. The point here that we want to become acquainted with is the plural of alladhi is alladhina, and the plural of allati is allati. Okay, let's go on and look at the next point, page 31, lesson 9, point number 8, English key. We have learnt the particle a, yani hamza, with fatha. We have learnt the particle, which is known as hamza al-istifham, the hamza that's used to ask a question. It turns a statement into a question. We have learnt this previously, that if we have a statement, for example, al-kitabu kabirun, the book is big, and we want to change it into a question, we just put a in front of it. A al-kitabu kabirun. The problem here is that yani al-kitabu begins with alif lam, and when it's preceded by hamza, then we have to make some modification there. That's what we're going to look at here. Okay. Otherwise, we know that a changes a statement into a question. And if we didn't have alif lam, if we just had hadha kitabun, this is a book, and we wanted to change it into a question, is this a book? We just say, instead of hadha kitabun, we say ahadha kitabun, is this a book? That's how we saw it in the past. Now we want to say, what if the word before hamzatul istifham has alif lam? A al-kitabu kabirun, is the book big? Here is what we want to look at in this point number 8. If the noun following the particle hamzatul istifham, if the noun following it has alif lam, the hamza changes to amed. It changes to amed. Yani an alif with a little wiggly line above it, which means that it's hamza with fatha followed by alif, like ah. It's as though you're pronouncing hamza with fatha elongated by alif. Ah. Alright? So, if we had, for example, if we had the sentence, al mudarrisu qala laka, yani the teacher said to you, and we want to make a question from that. A al mudarrisu qala laka. Did the teacher say to you, or did the teacher tell you something? Okay, a al mudarrisu. Al mudarrisu, we're going to put hamza in front of it, it became al mudarrisu. Instead of a al mudarrisu, it became al mudarrisu. So instead of writing the hamza with fatha and then the hamza for hamza til wasl, two alifs, instead of two alifs, yani we're going to write one alif with a little med on the top of it. This represents yani fatha, hamza with fatha elongated by an alif. You're going to write one alif with a wiggly line. It became al mudarrisu qala laka. Did the teacher tell you? Did the teacher say something to you? Another example, al yawma ra'aytuhu. Today, ra'aytahu. Today, al yawma ra'aytahu. Today, you saw him. If you want to put hamza til istifham in front of al-yawma, which begins with alif lam, instead of saying a al-yawma, you're going to say al-yawma ra'aytahu. Did you see him today? Al-yawma ra'aytahu. Did you see him today? Alright, so the point is here that whenever you have yani a sentence that begins with alif lam, if you want to change it into from a statement into a question with hamzatul istifham, then the hamzatul istifham is merged into the alif of L, the definite article, and it becomes, instead of A-L, it becomes A-L. Okay? Not so if the first word doesn't begin with hamza, doesn't begin with alif lam, then you just add the hamza til istifham and it's normal, like they gave us, but hadha at-talibu sa'alaka. Hadha at-talibu, this student, sa'alaka, asked you. You want to change that statement into a question? Did this student ask you? You say, هذا الطالب سألك. أهذا الطالب سألك. أهذا. Did this student ask you? So, I mean, this is point number 8. It's very simple. It's just a matter of what? Yani when you change a statement into a question using Hamzatul Istifham, if that statement begins with Aleph Lam, then you're not going to say A-L. You're going to say A-L. You're going to write one Aleph with a wiggly line above it, which represents Hamza with Fatha elongated by Aleph. A-L. Now, point number 9. Also a very simple point, not much to it. Let me just look at the time. Okay, we're good in time right now. Point number 9 says the final, this letter here is Aleph Maksura. The final Aleph Maksura, which is pronounced Aleph, which is pronounced like a regular Aleph, even though it looks like a Ya without its two dots, this letter that looks like a Ya without the two dots is Aleph Maksura. So the final Aleph Maksura, which is pronounced like a regular Aleph, is written like a regular Aleph, yani Aleph Mamduda, when a genitive or accusative noun is attached to the word. Okay, so what are we saying here? We're saying that there are two types of Aleph. Aleph Mamduda, which looks like a number one, and Aleph Maksura, which looks like the Ya at the end, the final form of Ya, or the independent form of Ya without its two dots. The Ya without its two dots. Okay, two types of Aleph. We learned this in the primer when we were learning the alphabets. So, a word that ends with Aleph Maksura, that looks like a Ya without the two dots, if there's a suffix attached to it, okay, a pronoun that's in the genitive case or in the accusative case attached to that word that ends with Aleph Maksura, then that Aleph Maksura is not going to be written like Ya anymore. It's now going to be written like a regular straight up and down Aleph, like the first, yani in the beginning of an alphabet where we have Aleph Ba Ta. That Aleph that looks like a number one, it's going to change from its form looking like a Ya without two dots to the Aleph that looks like a number one. Why is this so? And it's not explained here, but I just want to give you some idea what's happening here. Is because Aleph Maksura is always only the last letter of a word. It can only be the last letter of a word. So if you add a suffix to that word, you can't leave it as Aleph Maksura anymore. Now it becomes Aleph Mamduda. Or in some cases it may become, yani, it may be transferred into an actual Ya, yani a regular Ya with two dots, yes. But in any case, for here, when a word that ends with Aleph Maksura has attached to it a pronoun, either a genitive pronoun or an accusative pronoun, then that Aleph Maksura is now written as Aleph Mamduda, straight up and down Aleph that looks like a number one. So they're going to give you two examples here. One, where a genitive pronoun is attached to it, and the second one, where an accusative pronoun is attached to it. And I'll just explain briefly what we mean by a genitive pronoun. We mean a pronoun that's in the position where it should be majrur. Why should it be majrur? Because it's mudhaf ilayhi. When a pronoun is connected to a word in idhafa, that pronoun being mabniyun, we say it's in the place or in the position where it should be majrur. Because the word that's mudhaf ilayhi is always majrur. So when a pronoun is mudhaf to another word, that pronoun is going to be mudhaf ilayhi in the position or in the place where it should be majrur, fi mahalli jar. Okay? So the example they gave us is the word ma'na. It ends with Aleph Maksura, ma'na. But if you wanted to say, ma'na means meaning. If you wanted to say its meaning, the meaning of it, then it becomes ma'na plus the pronoun hu. Here the pronoun hu is mudhaf to the word ma'na. It's mudhaf ilayhi. But it's mabniyun. So we say it's mudhaf ilayhi, mabniyun, in the place where it should be majrur. Ma'na hu. The point is that when the Aleph Maksura at the end of a word has something suffixed after it, then we write it as a straight up and down Aleph, which is called Aleph Mamduda. So that's the example of a genitive pronoun being attached to a word that ends with Aleph Maksura. Let's look at the case of an accusative pronoun being attached to a word that ends with Aleph Maksura. They gave us the word Kawa. That's a verb that means he ironed, like to iron the clothing. So kawa is a verb. If you add a pronoun to it, that's the object of the verb, he ironed it, and he ironed the shirt, or the pants, or the thobe, he ironed it. So the pronoun here, it, is the object of the verb. It's the maf'ulun bi. So it's in the place where it should be mansub. That's why it's called the accusative pronoun, a pronoun that's in the position where it should be mansub fi mahalli nasb. Alright, so this word kawa ends with alif maksura. If you add the pronoun hu to it, and he earned it, kawahu, the alif maksura is written as a straight up and down alif, yani alif mamduda. So that's point number 9. It's very, very simple. The examples require some explanation, but the point that you need to be familiar with is the way you write the alif maksura at the end of a word. You write it like it's a ya without two dots. But if you attach a suffix to it, now you're going to write it like the regular alif that looks like the number 1. The regular alif mamduda. Alright, that's all it is here. How you write the alif maksura when you attach something to the end of a word, you change the way you write it. Instead of writing it like a ya without its two dots, you write it like a regular alif. Okay, let me see something here. I see. Okay. Okay, let's go on to the next point, which is point number 10 on the bottom of page 31. It says here, what we're talking about here, we're talking about the number. The number when it's used as a not. Okay, previously in book 1 we said that the numbers from 3 to 10 are opposite in gender to the thing being numbered. But the number comes first. You say, yani, maybe you say, Khamsatu tulabin, five students. Khamsatu tulabin. So the number comes first, and it's going to be opposite in gender of the thing being numbered. So if tulab is masculine, so khamsatu is going to be feminine. That's what we said when we studied the numbers from 1 through 10, or 3 to 10 more specifically, in book 1. Here we're going to look at the number being used as a not. Okay, instead of it coming first before the thing being counted, it's going to come as an adjective after the thing being counted. It's going to come as an adjective. And this is, the format is going to look a little bit different here. But the rule is still applicable that the numbers from 3 to 10 are going to be opposite in gender of the thing being counted. So for point number 10, they gave us At-tulabu al-jududu al-khamsatu, the five new students. Here the number 5, al-khamsatu, is used as an adjective, as a not, or a sifa. And so it comes after the ma'adud. Normally, yani the numbers from 3 to 10, we said the number comes before the ma'adud. You say, khamsatu tulabin jududin, 5 new students. But here we're not saying 5 new students, we're saying the 5 new students. So, 5 here is coming as a not, describing the new students. Yani that, what type of new students? 5 new students. So in this case, it's going to come after, instead of, as we said previously in the numbers from 3 to 10, that the number comes first before the ma'adud. Here the number is going to come after the ma'adud. So you're saying, At-tulabu al-jududu al-khamsatu, the 5 new students, not 5 new students. 5 new students will be khamsatu tulabin jududin, 5 new students. But here we're not saying 5 new students, we're saying the 5 new students. So 5 here is a not describing the new students. So it comes after the ma'adud. Here are some more examples. The 4 books. Al-kutubu al-arba'atu. Al-arba'atu here is a not describing books. Which books? The 4 books. So it's coming after the thing being counted. It's coming after it as a not. Okay, if we were just saying 4 books, for example, if you say, I have 4 books, I would say, عندي أربعة كتب, the number coming first, and then the ma'adud coming after it, being plural, يعني كتب and مجرور, مضاف إليه مجرور. عندي أربعة كتب. But now, here I'm not saying I have 4 books, I'm saying the 4 books. يعني bring to me the 4 books. So the 4 is a not, therefore it comes after al-kutub. Al-kutubu al-arba'atu. The next example, al-rijalu al-asharatu, the 10 men. Al-rijalu al-asharatu. Here again, al-ashiratu is coming after ar-rijal because it's being used as a not to describe the men. Which type of men? Just like if you said the big men, the tall men, the rich men, you're saying the 10 men. So 10 here is a not describing men. The next example they gave us, as-sihahu as-sittatu, the 6 authentic books of hadith. As-sihahu as-sittatu. So the 6, yani the word, the number 6 is a not describing the authentic books, the 6 authentic books. And by the way, this particular expression is not the best expression to use, because they are not really 6 authentic books, they are really sahihain, 2 authentic books, that is Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the other 4 that are intended here by this expression, 6 authentic books, are known as the Sunan of Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i, and it's more proper to say As-Sahihain, the 2 authentic books, and As-Sunan Al-Arba'a, the 4 Sunan of Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. But in any case, the point here is that 6 is a not describing As-Sihah, yani Sihah is the plural of Sahih, the 6 authentic books of Hadith. Refer to the 2 Sahihs, Bukhari and Muslim, and the 4 Sunan. The next example they gave us, the 5 sisters, Al-Akhawatu Al-Khamsu. Here, Al-Khamsu is describing the sisters. And if I just wanted to say 5 sisters, Khamsu Akhawatin, 5 sisters. But here I want to say the 5 sisters, so the 5 becomes a not. It comes after Al-Akhawat Al-Khamsu, and it's opposite in gender, yani masculine, feminine. Okay, turning the page to page 32, the last point, number 11 of this lesson. And by the way, before we go to number 11, I just want to emphasize here that point number 10 is what? It's when a number is being used as a not to describe the ma'adud. If it's being used as a not, then it comes after the ma'adud. We'll look at examples of this in the future when we go into the full study of this book. The last point is on page 32. On the top of page 32, point number 11. The example they gave us here is إِلَى الْمُدِيرِ ذَهَبْتُمْ. Here, إِلَى الْمُدِيرِ has been brought forward, advanced, ahead of its normal place for the sake of emphasis. Okay, the normal way to express this would have been أَذَهَبْتُمْ إِلَى الْمُدِيرِ. Did you all go to the مُدِير? But if I want to emphasize the point of this sentence, was it to the mudir that you all went? So I'm going to put ila al-mudir first. Ila al-mudiri dhahabtum, instead of adhahabtum ila al-mudiri. Did you all go to the mudir? I'm going to say ila al-mudiri dhahabtum. Yani, was it to the mudir that you all went? That's for emphasis. Okay? Note the following. Ra'itu bilalan. I saw Bilal. No emphasis here. It's just regular I saw Bilal. But if I change the order and say Bilal and Ra'aytu, same words but just changing the order, bringing Bilal and which should come last, first, then this shift in the arrangement of the sentence, yani, produces the effect of emphasis. Yani, Ra'aytu Bilal and I saw Bilal. But if I said Bilal and Ra'aytu, yani, it was Bilal that I saw. Yani, it was Bilal, not somebody else. This is for emphasis. The second construction is used, yani, reversing the order Bilal and Ra'aytu. This construction, or إِلَى الْمُدِيرِ ذَهَبْتُمْ, is used in case of doubt or denial to emphasize this fact, that in fact it was Bilal, that in fact it was to the Mudir that you all went. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to do in terms of the English key. There are 11 points here. Again, this is an introduction to the grammar for lesson number 9. It doesn't mean that everybody should have understood everything, all these 11 grammatical points. It's a lot of information, and that's why we decided to do an introduction, a preview to Medina Book 2 before we go into the full study, so you become at least acquainted with it, familiar with it, and so when we go back to do the full study of Medina Book 2, inshallah, you will already have been, yani, introduced. You will already have been, yani, acquainted with this material. Okay, we're going to just look quickly at the vocabulary on page 32, bottom of page 32, and top of page 33. On the right side, we have Tainun with ta, which means mud. Then we have Jarasun, which means a bell that rings. narun, which means fire. And by the way, this word narun, even though it doesn't have any sign of femininity, it's a feminine word. So if you describe it, you have to describe it with a feminine adjective. The next word, عِدَّةُ كُتُبٍ, a number of books. عِدَّةُ كُتُبٍ, a number of books. Then we go into the left side of the page. قَائِمَةٌ means a list. A list of things, list of students, list of books or whatever. Then we have alaqatun. In my book it has kasra, ilaqa. It should be with fatha. And ilaqa means a strap, something that you hang on to. Alaqa means relationship or affiliation, association. Alright? So it should be, instead of kasra, it should be fatha. Alaqatun. Alaqatun means a connection or a relation. Ma'ana with Alif Maksura means meaning, the meaning of something. Lahvatun with ta marbuta means a moment. Yani, give me a moment. Lahva, just wait 1 minute. Then we're going to page 33 on the right side. Asimatun means the capital city, the capital of a country. Mukhtalita, mukhtalitun, mukhtalitun with ta means something that's mixed with something else, a mixture of something. Mukhtalitun. From ikhtalata, when things are mixed together. Then we have kadhalika. Ka plus dhalika means like that or likewise. And then we have jannun with shadda on the noon, which means a jinn, has the same meaning as the other Arabic word jinn without the elongation, with kasra. Jinn and jan means jinn. Hadidun means iron, like a metal. And hakadha, ha plus ka and tha. Yani hadha plus ka. Hakadha means like this. Kadhalika, like that. Hakadha, like this, or so, or in this manner. And we'll look at these vocabulary words, yani, again, as we go through the Arabic text at the beginning of this lesson. Okay, let's read the Arabic text. The Arabic text is quite lengthy. It's like 4 pages. And we're going to do some analysis of the grammar, especially trying to identify the things that are new for this particular lesson. Try to identify new words that we haven't had before. We should be trying to memorize some of this vocabulary as we are doing this preview, so that when we go back to the full study of the Medina Book 2, inshallah, we will already have memorized some of the words, as many as possible. I suggest that we try to memorize throughout the week, every day, at least 1 or 2 words. Minimum 1 word every day. And review it. Go over it every day. Just read through the list of the vocabulary from the previous lessons and the lessons for the week that we're going into, so that yani, you become more and more familiar with these words and they become easier and easier and easier to memorize. Okay, let's read the Arabic text on page 59 for lesson number 9. Hopefully you've already read this text and you've attempted to translate as much of it as you can. You have attempted to identify the new grammatical points that are in this lesson. And you have attempted to identify the new vocabulary words. Hopefully you've already taken a look at it. And maybe you might find some difficulty in it because this is all new to you. This is new grammar, new vocabulary, and a new level. So when we go back to study this, inshallah, you'll find it somewhat easier because you'll already be familiar with the vocabulary and the grammar. But in any case, let's just try to read through it. Please read as much as possible. Even if you don't understand every word, just keep reading. Reading out loud. Loud meaning in an audible tone. This is better than just reading in your mind, looking at the words, processing them mentally only. But try to pronounce the words audibly as you are reading. Okay, let's read. Page 59, Ad-Darsu, At-Tasiu, the 9th lesson. Dakhala al-mudarrisu al-fasla. ووجد فيه خمسة عشر طالبا فقط. Translate. دخل المدرس والفصل. The mudarris, the teacher, entered the fasl, the classroom. ووجد فيه, and he found in it, يعني in the classroom, خمسة عشر طالبا, 15 students فقط only. Here I just want to note that the compound numbers, which we looked at previously, For the numbers from 13 to 19, the first part of the number is going to be opposite in gender of the ma'dud. So taliban is masculine, so khamsata is feminine with ta marbuta. And the second part of the number is going to be the same as the ma'dud in gender. So taliban is masculine, ashara is masculine. Okay, the teacher entered the classroom and found in it 15 students only. Only 15 students. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ Then he said to them, أَيْنَ التُلَّابُ الْجُدُدُ الْخَمْسَةُ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا أَمْسِي He said to them, أَيْنَ التُلَّابُ الْجُدُدُ الْخَمْسَةُ Here is the rule of what? When the number is used as a not, it's going to come after the ma'adud. أَيْنَ التُلَّابُ الْجُدُدُ الْخَمْسَةُ Where are the five new students? الَّذِينَ This is the relative pronoun, اسم موصول. For the plural of الَّذِي is الَّذِينَ. The five new students who جاءوا came أمسي yesterday. قال عبدالله Abdullah said, answering the teacher, حضروا They came. اليوم today. They came to class. وخرجوا قبل قليل And they went out. قبل قليل Before a little. يعني a little while ago. He goes on to say, أَظُنُّ أَنَّهُمْ ذَهَبُوا إِلَى الْمُدِيرِ أَظُنُّ I think أَنَّهُمْ That they went to the مُدِير To the principal, headmaster. Second paragraph. رَجَعَ الطُّلَّابُ الْخَمْسَةُ بَعْدَ قَلِيلٍ The students, the five students, الطُّلَّابُ الْخَمْسَةُ Remember? When the number is used as a not, it comes after the ma'adud, the thing being counted. رَجَعَ التُلَّابُ وَالْخَمْسَةُ بَعْدَ قَلِيلٍ The five students returned بَعْدَ قَلِيلٍ After a little while. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ الْمُدَرِّسُ So the teacher said to them, أَإِلَى الْمُدِيرِ ذَهَبْتُمْ يَا أَبْنَائِ أَإِلَى الْمُدِيرِ Remember, إِلَى الْمُدِيرِ should come after ذَهَبْتُمْ But it's coming up ahead, right? For emphasis. أَإِلَى الْمُدِيرِ ذَهَبْتُمْ Was it to the principal that you all went? يَا أَبْنَائِ أَبْنَائِ is the plural of Ibn. Oh my sons. Was it to the principal that you went? قَالُوا نَعَمْ They said, yes. It was to the principal that we went. ذَهَبْنَا إِلَيْهِ لِأَنَّنَا مَا وَجَدْنَا أَسْمَاءَنَا فِي الْقَائِمَةِ Yes. ذَهَبْنَا إِلَيْهِ We went to him لِأَنَّنَا Because we مَا وَجَدْنَا Did not find يعني مَا here is مَا النَّافِيَة Negation مَا وَجَدْنَا We did not find أَسْمَاءَنَا Our names فِي الْقَائِمَةِ In the list of the students Next paragraph جَلَسَ الْمُدَرِّسُ وَقَالَ The teacher sat down and he said أَقَرَأْتُمْ درس الأمس يا أبنائي أقرأتم Did you all read the lesson of yesterday درس الأمس مضاف مضاف إلي درس is the مفعول به the object of قرأتم أقرأتم درس أمس Did you all read the lesson of yesterday يا أبنائي Oh my sons قال الطلاب The student said نعم قرأناه وكتبناه وحفظناه Yes قَرَأْنَاهُ We read it. يعني the dars of yesterday. Yesterday's lesson. We read it. وَكَتَبْنَاهُ And we wrote it. وَحَفِذْنَاهُ And we memorized it. We not only read it, we also wrote it out. And we even memorized it. These are really diligent students. MashaAllah. قَالَ الْمُدَرِّسُ The teacher says, أَفَهِمْتُمُوهُ Did you all understand it? And here we have the verb, فَهِمْتُمْ Right? And then we have a wow after it, because remember we said the second person masculine plural form of the past tense verb. Whenever a pronoun is attached to it, you have to separate it with wow. So fahimtum became fahimtumu. And then the pronoun who. Afahimtumuhu, did you all understand it? Qalu na'am. They said, yes. Fahimnahu jayyida. Ma ashala hadha darsa. They said, yes, فَهِمْنَاهُ We understood it, جَيْدًا Well. And then they said, in amazement, مَا أَسْهَلَ هَذَا الدَّرْسَ Oh, how easy is this lesson. What an easy lesson. Okay, this is what we called فعل تعجب, right? يعني أفعل التعجب. ما أسهل سهل from سهل on the pattern of أفعل with فتح. ما plus أفعل أسهل plus هذا الدرس, the object of the verb. تعجب. Oh, how easy. What an easy lesson. Next paragraph. The last paragraph on this page. قال عبد الرحمن. عبد الرحمن says, أنا ما فهمت فيه ثلاث كلمات. I didn't understand in it three words. قال المدرس. ما هي? The teacher said, what are they? يعني the three words. ثلاث كلمات. قال عبد الرحمن. عبد الرحمن said, قرأنا في الدرس هذه الجملة. We read in the lesson this sentence. عاد جدي من الخرطوم. عاد جدي. جدي. My grandfather returned من الخرطوم. From the city of Khartoum. فما معنى هذه الكلمات الثلاثة. So what is the meaning of these three words? Again, ثلاثة here is a not for كلمات. It's a not for كلمات. كلمة is originally feminine. So ثلاثة is masculine. It's coming after it as a not. Three words. These three words. ما معنى. What is the meaning? معنى means meaning. What is the meaning of these three words? قال المدرس. عاد معناها. يعني notice that معنى. فما معنى هذه الكلمات الثلاثة. معنى is written with ألف مكسورة. But when we add a pronoun to it, at the end of it, it changes from the ya that looks like the alif that looks like ya without these two dots to the alif mamduda, the straight up and down alif that looks like any of the number one. So he said, "Ada ma'anaha, its meaning is raja'a, to return. Wal jad, the word jad ma'anaha, its meaning is abu al ab, aw abu al um. Any of the meaning of jad is the father of the father. Or the father of the mother. Any meaning? The grandfather from the father's side, or the grandfather from the mother's side. Well, Khartoum, and the word Khartoum is Asimatu As-Sudan. It's the capital of As-Sudan. Then the teacher ends by saying, Afahimta, did you understand? قال عبد الرحمن. عبد الرحمن said, الآن فهمتو. Now I have understood. Page 60, top of the page. ثم فتح المدرس كتابه وقرأ درسا جديدا. Then the teacher opened كتابه, his book, وقرأ درسا جديدا, and he read a new lesson. This is the new lesson. خلق الله الشمس. Allah created the sun. والقمر, and the moon. والنجوم, and the stars. والأرض, and the earth. والبحار, and the seas. بحار is the plural of بحر. وخلق كل شيء, and he created everything. وخلق الإنسان, and he created the human being. من طين. يعني from the surface soil of the earth. طين, يعني mud or clay. Next paragraph. رفع محمد يده وقال. Muhammad raised his hand and he said, ما معنى الطين? What is the meaning of الطين? يا أستاذ. O teacher. قال المدرس. The teacher said, الطين معناه. Again, معنى here is written as a straight up alif because there's a pronoun attached to the end of it, suffix to the end of it. The teacher said, الطين معناه, its meaning is التراب المختلط بالماء. It means surface soil. طين means surface soil mixed with water. يعني mud. ورفع فيصل يده. And Faisal raised his hand. فقال له المدرس. Then the teacher said to him, أعندك سؤال يا فيصل? Do you have a question, O Faisal? قال فيصل. فيصل said, نعم عندي سؤال. Yes, I have a question. Here he wants to say a البحار. But remember we said Hamzatul Istifham, when it's followed by L, you join it together, you just write one alif with a med over it, it becomes Al-Biharu, Jamu al-Bahr, yani meaning Al-Bihar is the word Al-Bihar, the plural of Al-Bahr. Al-Biharu, Jamu al-Bahr, yani is Al-Bihar the plural of Bahr, the sea. Qala al-Mudarrisu, Na'am, Huwa kadhalika. Yes, it is like that. It is so. Qama al-Hasanu wa qala. At this point, Hasan stands up and he says, Ma jam'u as-sama'i. What is the plural of as-sama'? Ya ustadu, O teacher. Qala al-Mudarrisu, Jam'uha samawat. Samawatun. Its plural is samawatun. Yani sama means the sky or the heaven. The plural of as-sama is samawat. ثم سأل المدرس الطلاب عدة أسئلة. Then the teacher asked the students عدة أسئلة, a number of questions. أسئلة is the plural of سؤال. He asked them a number of questions. Okay, he's going to ask questions and they're going to answer the questions, and we're just going to try to go through it, يعني, quickly. The first question, anywhere on page 60, halfway down the page, the mudarris is asking questions. Al-mudarris says, Man khalaqaka, ya Ibrahimu? Who created you, O Ibrahim? Ibrahim says, khalaqani Allah. Yani Allah created me. Here we have khalaqa and ya al-mutakallam separated by noon al-wiqaya. Khalaqani. Khalaqani Allah. Allah created me. The teacher says, Man khalaqakum. Ya abana'i, who created you all? O my sons. Al-jami', all of them answered, khalaqana Allah. Yani khalaqana Allahu. Allah created us. Al-mudarris, man khalaqani, ya abbasu, who created me? Again you have khalaqa, and ya al-mutakallam separated by noon al-wiqaya. Man khalaqani, ya abbasu, who created me? O Abbas. Abbas says, خَلَقَقَ اللَّهِ, Allah created you. Al-Mudarris says, مَنْ خَلَقَ الشَّمْسَ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ, who created the sun, O Abdullah. Here note that Abdullah, Abd is with Fatta because it's the Munada and it's Mudaf. The Munada after Ya Nida normally takes a single Dhamma, but if it's Munada Mudaf, connected to something else in Idafa, then it becomes Mansub with Fatta. Ya Abdullahi. Man khalaqa al-shams, ya Abdullahi. Abdullah says, khalaqaha, khalaqaha Allah. Yani khalaqaha, ha is referring back to al-shams, which even though it doesn't have any sign of femininity, is a feminine word. Khalaqaha, he created it who? Allahu. Turn to page 61. The mudarris says, continuing with these questions, wa man khalaqa al-qamara, ya Abdurrahman. And who created the moon? Oh, Abd al-Rahman. Again, yani Abd here is the Munada and it's Mudaf, so it takes Fatta. Ya Abd al-Rahman. Who created the moon? Oh, Abd al-Rahman. Abd al-Rahman says, Khalaqahu Allahu. Here, Al-Qamr is masculine, so you say, Khalaqahu. The pronoun who, masculine. Allah created it. The Mudarris, وَمَنْ خَلَقَ النُّجُومَ Ya Ahmadu. And who created the stars? Oh, Ahmed. Here we see the Munada, Ahmed, is not Mudaf. So it's taking, it's Mabniun on Dhamma. Ya Ahmadu. Ahmed says, Khalaqaha Allah. Khalaqaha. Yani ha is referring back to An-Nujum. Yani it's masculine, but it is a Ghayru Aqil plural, so we treat it as though it's feminine singular. Thus the pronoun ha. Khalaqaha Allahu. Allah created them. Yani the stars. Yaqub says, يا أستاذ عندي سؤال ليست له علاقة بالدرس. Oh teacher, عندي سؤال, I have a question. ليست, it is not, or there is not له, it doesn't have any علاقة, any relation to the درس. Doesn't have any علاقة بالدرس, no relation to the درس, something completely different. Teacher says, ما هو, what is it? يعقوب says, قرأت في كتاب أن النجوم أبعد من الشمس. الصحيح هذا. I read in a book that النجوم, the stars are أبعد, يعني بعيد, more بعيد than the sun, further than the sun. Is this correct? As-sahihun hadha? Is this sahih? The teacher says, Naam, hadha sahihun. Yes, this is correct. Then after a pause, the teacher continues with his questionings. Mimma. Here, the mimma is originally min plus ma al-istifhamiyya, the interrogative ma. But it loses its alif because it's preceded by a preposition. Mimma khalaqa Allahu al-insana, ya Uthman. From what did Allah create the human being? O Uthman. Again, Uthman is the munada. It's not any dalfa, so it is mabniyun on a single dhamma. From what did Allah create the human being? O Uthman. Uthman says, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ طِينَ. Allah created the human being from teen, from mud. Yani, surface soil mixed with water. Al-Mudarris, أَحْسَنْتَ يَا Uthmanu. You have done well, O Uthman. After a pause, وَمِمَّ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْجَانَّ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ. And from what did Allah create the jinn, O Abu Bakr? Here, remember that Aba is the munada and it's mudaf, so it's mansub, but the sign of it being mansub is not fatah, it's alif, because it's a secondary sign for al-asma al-khamsa. Abu Bakr answers saying, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْجَانَّ مِن نَارٍ. Allah created the jinn from fire. The teacher says, كَيْفَ عَرَفْتَ ذَلِكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ. How did you know that, O Abu Bakr? Abu Bakr says, عَرَفْتُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ. I know this from the noble Qur'an. فَجَاءَ فِي سُورَةِ الْأَعْرَافِ. It came in Surah Al-A'raf. أَنَّ إِبْلِيسَ قَالَ لِلَّهِ. That Iblis said to Allah, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. He said, I am better than him, better than Adam, human being. You have created me from fire, and you have created him from mud. Last page, 62. The teacher says, top of the page, أَحْسَنْتَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ. You have done well, O Abu Bakr. كَمْ سَمَاءً خَلَقَ اللَّهُ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ. How many heavens did Allah create, O Abdullah? Again, Abd here is mansub with fatah because it's the munada and it's mudaf. So it became mansub. Abdullah answers, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ. Allah created seven heavens. The mudarris. وَفِي كَمْ يَوْمٍ. Yani here, because fi is before kam, it can be yawmin because of the fi, or it could have been yawmin because of kam, but here they have chosen to and he acknowledged the preposition fi, so it became fi kam yawmin khalaqa Allahu as-samawati wal arda ya Abdul Rahman. In how many days did Allah create the heavens and the earth, O Abdul Rahman? Here we want to note that fi kam yawmin khalaqa Allahu as-samawati, yani khalaqa is the fi'l, the lafz al-jalal Allah is the fa'il marfu'un with dhamma, and as-samawati is the maf'ulun bi. But it's a sound feminine plural, jam, mu'annath, salam. So the sign of it being mansub is kasra instead of fatha. And then we have al-ard, is also maf'ulun bi, but it has fatha, the normal sign of being mansub. Okay, please make note that the feminine sound plural, when it's mansub, it takes kasra instead of fatha. Abdurrahman says, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ with كَسْرَ again, mansub with كَسْرَ because it's sound feminine plural, وَالْأَرْضَ mansub with فَتَّ, that's the normal sign, فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. Allah created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. The teacher says, هَذَا صَحِيحٌ, that is correct. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. Allah says in many of the ayats, إِنَّهُ خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ. Indeed, He created seven heavens. فَقَالَ فِي سُورَةِ الطَّلَاقِ. He said in Surah Al-Talaq, the 65th surah of the Quran, اللَّهُ الَّذِي. Here's the relative pronoun, الَّذِي, which means he who. اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ. Allah is the one who created seven heavens. وَكَذَلِكَ. And likewise, قَالَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. He also said in many ayat, إِنَّهُ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. Yani, so in the ayat in Surah Al-Talaq, Allah mentions that He created seven heavens. And in the next ayat in Surah Al-Hadid, He mentions that He created seven heavens and the earth in 6 days. يعني وكذلك قال في كثير من الآيات إنه خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام فقال في سورة الحديد he said in سورة الحديد last couple of lines هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام he is the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days في هذه اللحظة رن الجرس وَخَرَجَ الْمُدَرِّسُ مِنَ الْفَصْلِ At this moment, the bell rang, and the teacher goes out of the classroom, and our bell is also ringing, as it's 3:14 right now, and this is the last minute of our time. We're going to stop here with this, and inshallah, yani in the next session, session number 10, we'll be looking at lesson number 10, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant success to you and to me, to each of us in doing whatever we do, sincerely for the sake of Allah alone in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that he that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he recognize, record and reward our good deeds and multiply those rewards pardon our shortcomings and elevate our station with him in this world and in the next Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may he keep us firm upon a sirat al-mustaqim and allow us to die in a condition of being pleased and to return to him, to die and to be resurrected and to return to him in the condition of being pleased with him and pleasing to him. And may he grant yani help to those from amongst the Muslims who are weak. May he strengthen the weak. May he protect those who are unprotected. May he grant good health and well-being yani to all of the Muslims. May he heal our sick and increase us in yani recognition and acknowledgement that every calamity that befalls us is by the permission of Allah in that which He has decreed based upon His perfect wisdom and justice and that we yani, humbly accept and be patient with, recognize, be pleased with and thankful for yani, whatever Allah has decreed for us, knowing that whatever Allah has decreed for us is best. May Allah grant us success. May Allah grant us patience. May Allah increase us in all that is pleasing to Him. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك